Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful old story. And we do ask, Lord, now as we come before your word, that your Holy Spirit would minister your truth to our hearts, that the speaker be put behind the cross, and Lord, that you be exalted today. Father, we just pray to be filled with your Spirit, Lord, and to the glory of your name. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Today's message is entitled, Used for the Glory of God. Now we've seen that Nebuchadnezzar, he's a world ruler. He's Babylon is a world power. But there's trouble in the camp. There's turmoil. Nebuchadnezzar, he's been greatly troubled by his dream. And he made that public, causing on what he thought supposedly were the wise counselors to interpret this dream. And remember last week at the finish, Daniel called a prayer meeting with his friends. And in verse 19 of chapter 2, we're told that the secret then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And I don't know if you went home and had a read or study of that last little part there. What a beautiful prayer that was. A prayer of thanksgiving, of exalting God for the wonderful God he is, what he can do. And the God of heaven, a model prayer for us to thank our great God. And the secret was revealed, and God and only God can reveal secrets of God's wisdom. Amen. There are a lot of things we don't have the power to know. And the power of prayer, just as I see it, just pushed praise out of the heart of Daniel. And it was that power of prayer that enabled Daniel to stand courageously before the king. And Daniel now is standing by himself. But I have no doubt his friends are on their knees praying for him. But here Daniel's on his own. And we come to verse 24 there, and it says, therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Notice we come to a therefore. All that happened that we looked at last week, there's a therefore. And notice that Daniel now goes looking for Arioch. Listen, maybe you and I would have a bit more courage to face our difficulties, to stand up against those who persecute us, if we prayed a bit more and blessed God some more. Amen. Daniel has an inner strength, and he is now able to stand for the one true God. And we see here Daniel, you know what Daniel's doing? He's contradicting the king's commands. Now, according to worldly standards, that's not a very wise thing to do, amen? You don't contradict the commands. But Daniel's not operating according to worldly standards. He's working out of God's strength and God's wisdom. See, Daniel may be physically in the king's court, but Daniel's standing in the arena of the King of Kings. And he's standing true. Arioch, notice it says there he's been ordained by King Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, he's been officially appointed by the king to destroy all the wise men in Babylon. And Daniel contradicts and says, hey, don't do that. Take me to the king. I'll show him what the dream means. You know, as Christians, as children of the one true God, there are many times in our lives when we contradict the way of the world. And that takes courage. And that courage comes from knowing we have a God. And that knowing we have a God comes from communicating with God. It takes the character we talked about last week. It takes a belief and a commitment in a God who honors those who honor him. 1 Samuel 2:30. See, many, you look at today, many live in what they call de facto relationships. And the world says, that's okay, that's a type of marriage. God says they're living in fornication. You see what they want? They want the benefits of marriage, but we don't want any commitment. It's hands off, brothers and sisters. Until there's a ring on the finger, it's hands off. You stay pure until you say the words, I do. And God made man a man, and he made a woman, and it was God who performed the very first marriage in this world, and it was between a man and a woman, and not a man and a man, and not a woman and a woman. And all around us today, the media portrays that men and men and women and women can be joined together in marriage. And the sad fact is, our government supports it. In fact, our government has ordained it to be true. And we need to stand for God's standards, regardless of what it's going to cost us. We need to take courage, just as Daniel did, to stand against the world's ways and stand true to our one true God. Amen? That courage comes from the inside. It comes from being in communication with the God who created this universe and everything in it. It comes from a God who, as we walk with Him, answers our prayers. Listen, we believers, listen, we have the only answer to this world's problems. The only answer. And there are many times we are called to contradict the world's ways and stand true for our God. And the prayer had put Daniel in the right frame of mind. That's what prayer does. We go before our God, we call on Him to hear us, to listen to us, and He does. But if we desire wisdom in our decisions, courage in the face of battle, we have to hear and listen to what God tells us to do, and when He does, we obey. And when we do, we're in the right frame of mind, because we're in tune with God's thoughts, we're in tune with His ways, and we gain God's perspective on all of life's circumstances, and then we begin to operate out of God's will for our life. And notice Daniel doesn't directly go to the king. He goes to Arioch, the one the king gave the orders to destroy all the old wise men. He's a clever man, Daniel, because Arioch is the one who had access to the king. So he goes to him first. And notice the first thing Daniel says. Another contradiction. Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Listen, Daniel didn't have a spirit of selfishness. He didn't have a spirit of pride. He could have said nothing. He could have saved himself and his friends, and that would have been the end of it. But no, he requests that the wise men of Babylon be not destroyed. Listen, God takes no pleasure at all in the death of lost people. None at all. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Jesus, remember, He's on His way to Jerusalem. He goes through a village in Samaria, and they wouldn't receive Him. And His disciples, they said to Jesus, command fire to come down from heaven and to destroy them all. And in Luke 9:55, Jesus turned and rebuked them. And He said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You see, until the Lord comes, until the Lord takes us out, the gospel of grace is to be given to all mankind. And God uses experiences to cause people to be saved. God is the judge, brothers and sisters. We are the messengers, not judges. The wise men were spared for Daniel's sake. And listen, guess what? Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Verse 25, Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. He says, oh, he's hurried up now. And said thus unto him, I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Now in verse 10, all the wise men of Babylon said, no man can interpret it. Now we've got Arioch, nothing humble about him. What does he say? I found a man. I found somebody. Well, brothers and sisters, listen, we need men of God to stand for the Lord. We need men, not methods. We need men, not machinery. We need men, not rules and regulations. We need men, not plans and programs. We need men who will take their stand for the Lord God. We need men who desire to be on God's agenda, not have God on their agenda. We need men who are prepared to surrender wholly to the Lord God. We don't need to stand on new watered-down Bible versions. We don't need to stand on new worldly Christian music. We don't need men's worldly philosophies preached from a pulpit. We need those who want to preach the truth of God's word. The old, old story as we sung. The word that God has given from the beginning. And as true believers, we don't have to make one excuse, one apology for standing on the truth of God's word. I wonder how often we face this challenge and how we have made a stand for the Lord. Asked if our God is able. Ask if he's able to give us answers, able to help and able to provide. And I wonder what our answers have been over the time. Or our prayers really excuses for not walking by faith. Making a stand for the Lord. Secondly, acknowledging the God of heaven. Verse 27 and 28. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions on thy head upon thy bed are these." Here's Daniel. He takes no credit for himself. Daniel doesn't go around saying, "Hey, I'm the man, God, that King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm the one." He didn't take credit for himself, neither did he hesitate to give all the glory to the God of heaven. Daniel's now, it tells us there, in the presence of the king. We've got to remember, this is a very angry man at this time. He was furious, he was troubled. He wanted to put to death anyone who couldn't give him an answer. And he's asking. And Daniel's not being sarcastic, he's not being smart, he's just asking the king, "Well, can't the men you demand to give you an answer?" And he says, "Well, king, let me tell you, there is a God in heaven who can. Nebuchadnezzar, you're looking in the wrong place. You're going to the wrong gods. You're seeking the wrong power. Only the one true God is the revealer of the secret things. Only he knows." Do you know that the best, the world, the flesh and the devil doesn't mount up even to a grain of sand to what God can do for those who are his children and who trust in him. There is a God in heaven. He is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, he is everywhere present, he is in control, and because of that, he alone deserves the glory. It was the God of God, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings that reveals the secrets of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and it's to God be the glory for it. And Daniel acknowledges, hey, there is only one true God. He can make known to you. In fact, he will make known to you what's going to happen in the latter days. Now, I want to make something very clear here before we go any further. When God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel in dreams and visions, they never had what we held up this morning, the completed word of God. It wasn't written down for them. People often talk about dreams, and we do have dreams. But let me tell you, God is not speaking to men and women today through dreams. I'd be very worried if God was speaking to President Biden in a dream. Very worried. And the reason is it's not necessary. He has spoken once for all in his written word, in the living word, to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Listen, we have Daniel's book, Daniel's prophecy. We have all the prophets. We have the book of Revelation. We have the Gospels. We have the letters to the churches. We have the New Testament. we have added light above that which God gave to Daniel. And what a terrible shame it is on a believer if we fail to open our hearts and minds to the truth that's been revealed to us and not even desiring to seek and find out what God has told us. If we're living without this, we're living without communication of God. We won't know where to go and what to do. How are we going to train up a child in the ways of the Lord if we don't know them? If we don't live them before our families, how do we do that? We can't. Verse 29, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secret maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. King Nebuchadnezzar, this isn't an everyday dream. Remember last week it was God whom in Jeremiah 27, verse 4, I think, it was God who placed Nebuchadnezzar where he was for that time. And now God's using him for things that shall come to pass. In verse 30 says, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall be made known the interpretation to the king, and that thou might knowest the thoughts of thy heart. Look at verse 29. It says, as for thee, O king. Now what does Daniel say in verse 30? But as for me. This secret hasn't been revealed to me. I don't have any more wisdom than any of the others. It isn't my understanding, king. It's not my ability. It was God who revealed the interpretation to him, and the only reason was so the king would know what would come in the future, even until the end of time, when the times of the Gentiles is going to cease. It's an amazing thing. I was at a long conversation with Eric Rees last night, and we were talking about how people today should be concerned about the future. I'm not just talking about believers. We know the future. About lost people. They should be concerned about the future as Nebuchadnezzar was. But people don't care. They don't care. They're just going about their daily walk, not too worried about anything. Not thinking of what's going to happen or what could come. But there's a day coming where God will be just and God will judge. Amen? It is coming. And as believers, we do not have to worry about that day. That future. We have a day of rewards coming for us. And brothers and sisters, we will all be rewarded exactly what we deserve out of our Christian walk. Not one bit more, not one bit less. But we will not be judged for sin. Sin was judged by Christ. He paid that penalty. And all who believe and place their faith and trust in what he did and accomplished on that cross are and will be saved from the wrath to come. And I said in our soul winning class yesterday, the question is no longer about sin. Sin has been paid for, dealt with. It's the Son. What do you believe about him? It's a Son question, not the sin question. What do you believe about the Son? Because your future depends upon that. If anyone could be proud from a human standpoint, it's Daniel. But just like the forerunner of the Lord, John the Baptist, he's not interested in any limelight. Daniel's God's prophet, God's servant, and the only joy in Daniel's life, the only joy of his heart was to do what God wanted him to do. See, the true servants of God have the same spirit. He must increase and I must decrease. And these servants, they're possessed, they're filled by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, you know what he does? He always, always points men to the God of heaven, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And we have a God-given prophecy we can bank our lives on. You know, many today, churches today are full of false prophets. And what do they point to? They point to themselves. They run around in $2,000 and $3,000 suits. They make that much noise from the jewelry that they're wearing. You can't really hear what they're preaching. And they tell people, if you had a bit more faith, you'd be fine. Well, it's not that, brothers and sisters. It's people's faith that causes them to suffer trials and tribulations. It's people who don't exalt themselves but exalt God are the ones who face the trials. They point to themselves, their revelations, their miracles, what they can do. I read about a couple of them the other day. One was asked, he pulls up at his gate and there was cameras out the front and he's in the biggest, flashiest Mercedes-Benz you could ever see. And he drives out and he comes out of the gate and one of the guys stepped in. Some of them were exalting this guy, but one reporter, he says, what are you driving that big flash car for? And you know what this guy turned around, this preacher turned around and says, oh, what do you want me to drive, a Honda? I'd be happy to drive a Honda, amen. That's what he said. There was another who said, and this one blows me away. He said, when people see my limousine parked up the front of my long driveway in front of my mansion, then they'll know there's a God in heaven. If you want to know that there's a God in heaven, you look at the cross. You look at the Saviour. You go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, who said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's the Lord's mind on these things. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And here it is, God in the flesh made himself of no reputation. None at all. Took upon him the form of a servant and made him the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a lesson for us. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should be focusing our lives upon. Thirdly, proclaiming the greatness of God. Verse 31, thou, O King, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Can you imagine Nebuchadnezzar and what he's now thinking? Put yourself in his place. I can't even imagine what he's going, wow. None of those other guys could come up with anything like this. Here's Daniel, he's unveiling this dream that had so troubled this king, that had put this king into a rage. And he's doing it step by step. He's unfolding the dream to the king. Look what he says, thou, O king, sawest. No doubt, no hesitation. Daniel gets right to the point. Here is what you saw. Here is the great image. And Daniel, just he unfolds it bit by bit to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, the brightness was excellent. The form thereof terrible. The head made of not just any gold, not gold-plated, but fine gold. In other words, the best there is, the purest form of gold you can get. Who is this Daniel? Remember, the king, he was the one who said that this Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than all of his wise men. Now, I wonder what the wise men are now thinking, amen? See, the heathen gods couldn't come up with anything. They couldn't reveal the secret dream. But what I do know is Nebuchadnezzar accepted it, because if you go to verse 46 and 47, it says to us, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Now, there are three things from verse 28 and 29 that are keys to opening the meaning of this great image. Verse 28, it tells us that it's latter days. Verse 29, we said what should come to pass hereafter and what shall come to pass. All these point to a fact that which we need to remember, that the great image the king saw in his dream is God's blueprint for the future. Future things in that dream was a prophecy dealing with future things which hadn't happened up until that time. But they're going to happen even in those latter days. Remember we said at the start of this series that people want to destroy the book of Daniel. They just want it ripped out. Don't believe it. It's just a fable, just a story. But even worldly historians make truth out of God's word because they've detailed the fall of kingdoms all through the world. And they all match up to exactly what Daniel says. This is a prophetic book. And that's what the dream deals with, that fact. And Daniel makes very clear the image of gold, silver, brass, iron, and clay is a picture of things to come, things in the future. And Daniel's interpretation of the dream was revealed by God. And if we read and study this with an open mind, as it is literally written for us, without any preconceived ideas, we will find it's easy to believe and easy to understand all that God would have us understand. Don't go reading more into it than what's there. We're some 2,500 years, maybe a bit more ahead of Daniel's day, but we can go to history books and just see how accurate the book of Daniel is. They've been fulfilled, and which are being fulfilled in our very day now. You only got to watch the news, read the papers. I was saying with Eric last night, I said, Eric, have you noticed now everyone's talking about aliens? It's on the news. There's a big special on TV tonight about it. They're all talking about that. Most of Daniel's been fulfilled. Hey, why shouldn't we think the rest of it won't be fulfilled exactly to the letter? And these verses 31 to 35 exposes to the king what he had exactly dreamed. A great image, the brightness excellent, the form terrible, the head of fine gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thigh of brass, the legs of iron and the feet a mix of iron and clay. And as the king's laying on his bed, he's looking at this image in his dream. And Daniel says, look, thou sawest till that a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. Here's a stone. No one's cut it out. Just comes in and smashes the whole thing to pieces. And it tells us in verse 34 that the whole thing became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. You know, they would beat the grain out, and the breezes off the Mediterranean Sea would come in the evenings, and all the dust and chaff would just blow away. And it tells us there, the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. You know what David said to us in Psalm 1:4? He said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And just to add, so we finish off, verse 36, Daniel said, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Notice again, Daniel saying, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not the man. He says, we will tell you. Daniel never took the glory for himself. He always included his friends with him. Oh, what a spirit-filled man Daniel was. I just pray, dear Lord, that we would have more Daniels in our lives today. Amen. Honest, humble, upright, surrendered to God's will and giving God the glory. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof. What faith this is. This is the dream. Not going to the... Is this the dream, King? No. This is it. Oh, we need more believers today to say, thus saith the word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is truth. We thank you, Lord, that we have a future we know about. Not everything has been revealed to us, but we know as believers we are saved from the wrath to come, the wrath that is nearly upon this world. Help us to be your mouthpiece. Help us to fill in the gap and to stand upright, sure, and for you in a world that contradicts everything you have said. Father, we love you and thank you for the gift of our salvation, for the sending of your Son, for you taking on a body of flesh without any sin and dying for us, raising again and ascending back to glory, giving us that eternal hope that that's where we will be forever and ever. Amen.